are excited to be here this morning? All right, well then let's give him that praise. How many of you are excited to be here this morning? Amen. Amen. Pastor Justin reached out to me and asked me to fill the pulpit this morning. I kind of struggled with deciding what to talk about. This is an interesting opportunity for me because, honestly, other than my family and two friends that drove to hear me, I don't know any of you, and you don't know me. So let me give you a little bit about my background before we start. My name is Joe Poe. See, I love you guys. That's awesome. J-O-E-P-O-E. Now, I want you to imagine for a minute what it's like to have a name like Joe Poe in a high school cafeteria. It rhymes with just about anything. And I could not for the life of me figure out why my parents did that to me. I took it personally. Until about 5 years ago. And of course, I named my firstborn Joey. So, 5 years ago, the Lord called me into the gospel ministry. And as I was praying about this, my emphasis, honestly, was going to be as an emergency services chaplain. I was ministering to police officers, dispatchers, firefighters, medics, because I used to be a firefighter. And they need that. But me, in my little infinite amount of wisdom, thought that I was doing exactly what God wanted me to do. Which I was, but he had a much bigger picture. I joined an organization known as Corporate Chaplains of America. We're actually a workplace ministry. I go into the workplaces, and I basically get paid to love on folks. It's a pretty cool gig. You know, I build relationships on the intent that when something does happen or when they're ready, I get their permission to share with them the life-changing good news that we know of Jesus Christ. So one of the biggest things that I wanted to talk about this morning was how we look at ourselves. When people ask me to describe what I do, the easiest way for me to do that is I tell people I am merely a tool in God's toolbox. And when he sees fit, he reaches down, he picks me up, he puts me in a position to be able to minister to somebody. And then when we're done, he wipes me off, puts me back in a toolbox, and I wait for the next time. But here's something I want to ask you guys. Do y'all consider yourself to be fine works of art? I want you to look at your neighbor, somebody around you, and say, you are a masterpiece. Now I'm hearing a lot of giggling. How did that go? How did that feel? We don't really do that, do we? But you are a masterpiece. How many of you remember Bible drills? How many of you enjoyed Bible drills? All right, I'll take that. This morning, we're going to bounce around to 10 different scriptures. But there's going to be an overlying scripture that I share with you at the beginning, and I'm going to share with you again at the end. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." One part of that scripture that jumps out to me is as you see the day approaching. The return of Christ. He's coming, folks. And I personally believe it's sooner than later. So we have to encourage one another. We have to build one another up. I love the fact that you guys are responding to me because I'm what I refer to as an interactive pastor. If you have to sit here and listen to me, you know, when I talked to the pastor, he told me that y'all were having a potluck at 5 o'clock, and I told him I would only preach to 4:50. So get comfortable. But think about it. How well do we encourage one another? So, I got a question for you. How many in this room enjoy sports? I see you. Two hands. There you go, Yuri. I like that. When we think about sports, I want to put it into this context for you. Who in this sanctuary has ever coached a team? Okay, thank you. I feel like my job as a pastor, as a chaplain, if you will, is to be the assistant coach. God's the head coach, and he has the master plan, And my job as the assistant coach is to simply relay that plan to the team. Now, guess what? You guys are the team. Are you excited about that? You need to get a little bit more excited. Because you know what? I read this book. I know who wins. Guys, we are on the winning team. And that's something that we should find joy and excitement in. Let me pray before we get started. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Father, I just thank you for the opportunity that you give us day in and day out to tell others about you. Father, I thank you for the calling that you put on my life and the privilege that you allow me to fill this pulpit. But Father, I just pray that you hide me behind the cross. Allow your words to be heard, Father. Allow those words to be put into action and allow others to come to know you. Father, I pray for every individual in this room and their families. And Father, we're just excited to see what you're going to do next. And it's in your Son's most precious and holy name I pray. Amen. So, masterpiece. If we're going to talk about masterpieces, and in order to study God's Word a little bit better, or a little deeper, if you will, I'm going to be giving you two different translations of every scripture so we can point out the little differences. But you'll see where I'm going with that in a minute. The two translations I'm going to be using are the King James Version and the New International Version. If you were to look up the dictionary in the dictionary for the definition of masterpiece, it says, a work of outstanding artistry, skill, or workmanship, or an artisan's or craftsman's best piece of work. So when I say masterpieces, what are some things that you guys think about? The Mona Lisa. I was about to say the crickets were about to start chirping. The Mona Lisa. What else? The Sistine Chapel. I heard something else. Starry Night. Van Gogh, Monet. But let's go a little bit bigger. How about the Grand Canyon? How about, for you beach lovers, a sunset on the beach or a sunrise on the beach? Or for you mountain goers, the same there. These are all things that we're to consider masterpieces. How about your children or your grandchildren? Have we thought about them or looked at them in the light of them being masterpieces? How about you? Have you considered yourself a masterpiece? You were created. And the definition is the most excellent piece of work or the best piece of work created by an artisan or a craftsman. Now, I know it's not in our nature to think of ourselves that way. We're called to be humble, right? But I'm going to share with you some scriptures that'll help to remind you that we all were created by God and that we were all created to be masterpieces. Number one, short and simple. You are a masterpiece. The King James Version states, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto do good works, which God hath before ordained, and we should walk in them. The NIV states, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want to point out something to you real quick. Both of these versions use two different yet very similar words. The King James Version uses workmanship, and the NIV uses handiwork. Either way, I believe that these scriptures are intended to remind us that we were created by God to do good works. God does not, and God has not, made any mistakes. We are called to be obedient. We are called to be servants. Number two, you are important. 1 Peter 2:9, King James states, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The NIV says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We are, as believers, the chosen people. The King James refers to us, and I love this, as peculiar. The NIV says that we are God's special possessions. Like all masterpieces, we are to be considered special. And that's how God sees us. And that's how we need to see one another. Number three, we are forgiven. Psalm 103:12, King James. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." And the NIV says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." There's not a whole lot of difference here. But the biggest thing that we need to remember and we need to remind ourselves is when we have that transformational change by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we don't go back. We're forgiven. All that is in the past remains in the past. And as forgiven individuals, we're called to be utilized. That God will use us in a fashion that we can't do ourselves. Think about your testimony and when you try to witness to someone. What's the first thing we do? Right? But when we trust God, God can use us in such a mighty way. So much to the point where this has happened to me twice, actually, where when I witness to someone or I bring someone to the Lord, I get home and I'm saying my prayers and I say amen and I go, did that really just happen? Where did those words come from? He equips us. He enables us. And he uses us. We, number four, we are new creations in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, King James. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The NIV states, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here." Once again, there are two very similar scriptures, but the one thing that jumped out at me at the NIV, the end of the scripture ended with an exclamation point. Excitement. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be excited. When we see someone that we're struggling, that they're struggling, we should be excited that we have the opportunity. God will provide the words. Number five, we are strong. Psalm 68:35, King James says, "O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God." The NIV states, "You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God." The one common theme in both of these translations is that we are weak, but we get our power and we get our strength from God. In a simple act of obedience, when you allow God to use you, that's when you see how much he can equip you. Number six, we are unique. Psalm 119:13, King James Version says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And the NIV states, "With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth." The note that I made here says this: We as Christians are called to proclaim the word of God. We are to speak of the commandments that we are to follow as believers. And we are to have the boldness that can only come from Christ to share the gospel with everyone we meet. We don't pick and choose. When God puts somebody in front of you, we're called to go forth and make disciples. We share the gospel. We share that life-changing good news. And I get it. I understand that the hardest group for you to share your testimony with or for you to minister to is family. Because family knows where Joe Poe's been. Family knows what Joe Poe has done in the past. But through that transformational change of my heart, when I accepted Jesus, that slate is wiped clean. And we go to work for Him. We're equipped and we're empowered by Him. Number 7, we were created for a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. The NIV states, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you. This is important. Plans to give you hope and a future. We understand what the end result is for us. Scripture talks about the glory of heaven and how we will do nothing more than worship God. But when we're asked to do specific things for the Lord, we may not always understand why God is calling us to do those things, because they're things that at times we may be uncomfortable with. But this verse is intended to remind us that God has the greater plan. We are masterpieces created by the Master to fulfill His purpose. So I'm going to stop there for a second and issue you guys a challenge. If God's laying something on your heart, or you think, you know, this came out of nowhere and I really don't understand why, that's a God thing. And you have to be uncomfortable. I'll tell you that one of the most educational experiences in my walk as a pastor and as a chaplain to this point was when I was asked to help with the youth. I'm too big, I'm too old. But you know what? Even in that situation, God allowed me to help them, and they in turn helped me. So once again, that simple act of obedience. And friends, don't think of it as that nudge or just a thought, because we know who puts that thought there. It can be scary at times. Whether it's a simple act of sharing your testimony with somebody or witnessing to somebody, it's scary. But that's where number 8 comes into play. We are protected. Psalm 121:3, King James says, He will not suffer thy foot be moved, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. The NIV states, He will not let your foot slip, he who watches over you will not slumber. In the very beginning, I asked for examples, and I was told the Mona Lisa, works of art. All of these things are well protected. And they're protected because they're considered to be masterpieces. And just as the same for us, as masterpieces, our protection comes from the Lord. And it's unfaltering. It's never changing. He is a constant protection, even in what we see as our darkest hour. Number 9, we are family. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. The NIV says, consequently you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of His household. So Joe Poe, in his pea-brained little way, has to break it down into a fashion that I understand. And God revealed to me, this is simply saying that we are called to be there for one another. We are called to look out for one another. We are called to love one another, to comfort and care for one another as members of God's family. Last but not least, number 10. We are victorious. John 5, 3 through 5 says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" The NIV states, "In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." My entire intent this morning for all of you is to help you realize how important you are. Not just to your loved ones, not just to your family or your friends, but to God. You, each of you, are masterpieces. We are masterpieces. God created us each for a purpose, and provided us with brothers and sisters to support one another, to strengthen each other as we go out to fulfill the commands to bring others to the kingdom of God. Once we make that transformational change, once we accept Christ, we are forgiven, we are made new, and we are important to God. We are strong and we are unique. We are created for a purpose as a family, protected by God, and we are victorious only through Him. I'd like to remind you of the opening scripture from this morning. I'm going to read it once more. Hebrews 10, verse 25. "Let us not give up meeting together, as some more in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This scripture is incredibly powerful to us, folks, because it encourages us to be having that corporate worship that we have on Sunday mornings. It encourages us to be attending those Bible studies. That's how we get fed. That's how we resharpen. As Proverbs tells us, as iron sharpens iron, we are called to do that for one another. How excited are you when you go out to the mailbox? And I know this is old school. I'll talk about the text messaging in a minute. But whether it's in the mail or an email or a text message from somebody completely out of the blue, and they say, "You know what? God put you on my heart today. I love you. How can I pray for you?" That has a huge impact. And it's a simple act of obedience. One of the things that most speaks to me, especially in what I get the privilege of doing, I joined Corporate Chapels of America about almost 3 years ago. I haven't worked in 3 years. Because for me, it's a joy. Do something different. Challenge yourself to step out of your comfort zone. Reach out to someone that you haven't reached out to in a long time. We're going to have a closing song. If I can pray with you, I would love to. But let me give you your second challenge of the day. How many of us in this room have told somebody, "I'm going to pray for you"? How many in this room have had somebody tell you, "I'm going to pray for you"? You want to step up your game? Tell them you want to pray with them right now. Ask the individual who's reached out to you to pray with you right now. That, I believe, is one of the most impactful and significant ways that we can minister to one another. Because we're busy, right? My son calls me, having a bad day, whatever the case may be. You know what? I'm going to pray for you when I get around to it. That doesn't sound good, does it? Well, Dad, I know you're busy. That means you're never going to get around to it. But if somebody calls you and says, you know what, I'm having a really bad day, Scripture tells us we don't have to have specifics. Stop what you're doing. Pray with that individual. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Allow yourself to become that tool in a toolbox. And He will use you in a fashion that will just completely blow you away. Let me pray with you. Father, we want to be obedient. Father, we want to please You. Father, my prayer for this group is that at some time this week, if not today, You allow someone to be in front of them that needs to hear Your word. That You will equip these folks with the boldness to speak the Scripture. Father, so often we miss opportunities, and Father, I pray that You forgive us for that. But Father, open our eyes. Allow us to see. Use us in a fashion and in a way that only You can, Father. And we will be sure to share that witness and testimony with others so You receive the praise, the honor, and the glory that You so rightly deserve. Father, we love You and we thank You. And it's in Your Son's precious name I pray. Amen.